Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yudzayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkunus, the great Rabbi Eliezer Stam in the Shas. He says, Ilmalei ba Kodesh Baruch Hu im Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov b'din, if Hashem brought Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to judgment, en yocholim lamod mipnei ha-tochacha. They wouldn't be able to stand because of the rebuke. Shenemar, v'ata hityatzvu, v'shafta etchem lifnei Hashem, et kol tzidkot Hashem asher asah itchem v'et avotechem. Shmuel, in his final speech, in his farewell speech, says, now you come and stand before Hashem, and we'll tell you all the great things and all the generous and righteous things that Hashem has done v'et avotechem, and to your forefathers. Meaning that not only is this true of you in a generation, but even your forefathers, also Hashem was kind and generous too. What Hashem has done for us, what Hashem has done for our forefathers, far exceeds what we deserve based on our ma'asim. And therefore, nobody can stand up to the tochacha of Hashem because of the fact that we are all beneficiaries of Hashem's kindness. Ze dor dorshav mivakshei panecha Yaakov sela. This is the generation that are doshei Hashem, that seek out Hashem, or seek out thy face. They are the descendants of Yaakov, who are appropriately the ones who are seeking out your presence. Sela, that should be forever. Dor, the generation, and Dorshav, and those that inquire on behalf of the generation, meaning the leaders of the generation. Pligi ba Rav Yehuda Nisiya v'Rabbonon. Machloke between Rav Yehuda Nisiya, the grandson of Rabbi, and the Rabbonon. Chadamar Dor lifi Parnas, that the generation is determined by the leader. And Chadamar, and the other one says just the opposite way around, which is that Parnas lifi Ador, that the leader is influenced by the generation. So the question is, which is the leading factor and which is the resultant factor? Is it that the generation is the leading factor in determining what type of leader they will get? Or is it that the type of leader determines what generation that we have? That's the machaloki between them. When it says mayuchata, what type of ramifications does it have? Ilema the malyuta, if you want to say it is, has to do with the influencing effect of one on the other, meaning that if one is good, it'll influence the other one to be good, or vice versa. And their argument is about who is the pivotal factor in determining whether it's going to be good or bad. Is it the leader or the generation? The mar savar imale dora male parnas. That one of them thinks that if the generation's a good generation, then they'll get a good leader. Masavar imale parnas. If they have a good leader, male dora, that the generation will be good. If that's what you think the nafkamina between them is, which is that there's a determination as to what's going to happen to that generation, depending on whether it's the leader or the generation that leads, we can determine what will be the outcome of that situation. Mar says it's not necessarily true, because Haika Tzidkiyahu, you have Tzidkiyahu Dave Male, who was a good king, the Dare Dave Male. On the other hand, his generation wasn't so good. Veha Yoyakim. And then you have Yoyakim, Dulahava Male, who was not a good king, the Dare Dave Male. On the other hand, his generation was much more favorable than he was. So these are, first of all, in degrees, because neither the generation of Yoyakim nor the generation of Tzidkiyahu were great tzaddikim. And the same is true about the kings themselves. They're both not really great kings. The difference might be partly in their treatment of Yirmiyahu and Navi, because we know that Yoyakim has no patience for Yirmiyahu and Navi. He burns the Megillat Eicha that is written by Yirmiyahu. He imprisons Yirmiyahu, and he is willing to or wants to kill Yirmiyahu and Navi. And Yirmiyahu is saved in the time of Yoyakim by the ministers who take to heart the statements of Yirmiyahu and the Megillah that he writes. They worry about what's written in that Megillah, and they also try to save Yirmiyahu from Yoyakim. That is not true in the time of Tzidkiyahu, where it's just the opposite, that the ministers or the people want to kill Yirmiyahu, and Tzidkiyahu protects Yirmiyahu. Now, despite the fact that Tzidkiyahu protects Yirmiyahu, he also doesn't listen to Yirmiyahu. He doesn't pay heed or take to heart that which Yirmiyahu and Navi is saying. So there's a little bit of literate license over here, where the Chachamim are reading into Tzidkiyahu's actions that he was good, or at least better than Yoyakim, but to say that he was a great tzaddik is very hard. The psukim and the Navi don't seem to bear that out. But again, he was much better than Yoyakim. Now, both Yoyakim and Tzidkiyahu were sons of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. They are brothers, and their outlook is slightly different, and that contrast versus the contrast of the generation shows you that there can be an inconsistency between the generation and the king, and neither is true. The king is not influencing the generation, and the generation is not influencing the king. They are at odds, or there's a disparity between them. So to say that the nafgamina over here is that depending on whether the individual is good will influence the other party, whether it's the dor or the parnas, it's clearly not true, because here we have this disparity in both directions. Dama Rabbi Yochanan Mishom Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Whenever you say Mishom, we saw before the Rabbeinu Tam notes, that means that Rabbi Yochanan himself did not learn from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but he's saying it over or heard it in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. My dichtiv, what's meant by the pasuk of Bereshit Mamlechut Yoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda, Ikesh Akosh Baruch Hu Lachzir Et Olam Letov Vavo, Shem wanted to return the world to its original state, Bishvil Yoyakim, because of Yoyakim, Kevin Shinistakel B'doro, once he looked at the generation, Nityashva Dato, he was placated. Similarly, Ikesh Akosh Baruch Hu Lachzir Et Olam Letov Vavo, Mipnei Doro Shel Tzidkiyahu, because the term Reshit is also used by Tzidkiyahu. And interesting enough, those are the two kings in which it says Bereshit Mamlechut Yoyakim, and also says Bereshit Malchut Tzidkiyahu. And so the word Bereshit, which actually Rashi quotes in the first Rashi in Chumash, to note that this is a strange formulation in the beginning of the Chumash of Bereshit Baralukim Et Hashamayim Ve'et Haaretz, because Bereshit, like in these cases, is usually connected to the word that's afterwards. And Rashi, therefore, is puzzled by the usage of the word Bereshit in the beginning of the Torah. But it's also indicative of the fact that the word Bereshit is an unusual term to be used. It's used in the beginning of the Torah, and it's used in these two instances with regards to these kings. So there must be some connection or correlation between them, and that's this Midrash Agadah that Rabbi Yochanan's quoting from Shimon Bar Yochai, that the Reshit in the time of Yoyakim was that Hashem wanted to destroy the world because of Yoyakim, but was placated because of the behavior of the generation, and vice versa. In the time of Tzidkiyahu, he wanted to return the world to Tovu Vavohu because of the door of Tzidkiyahu. Kev shenistakel b'Tzidkiyahu nityashva dato. He was placated by the fact that Tzidkiyahu was much better than his generation, or was somewhat of a tzaddik, and therefore he rescues the generation. But again, that corroborates what we saw before, that there is this disparity between the generation and the king, and no one party is influencing the other party, they're actually at odds. Ella, so it must be, l'inya tukfa v'nichuta ka'amrinan. It has to do with, as Rashi says over here, tukfa is kas, anger, and nichuta is noach lirtzot, how easily placated one is. You could explain it that it's a reference to how Hashem interacts with the generation, meaning which way is Hashem more likely to have forbearance with regards to that which is happening. Is it that the door is determined by the parnas, by the leader, meaning that Hashem looks at the leader, and based on the leader, makes a determination about how he's going to deal with the situation, how much forbearance, how much time and rachamim will he give them, or how much punishment or difficulties will be placed on the generation? And is that determined either by the parnas, or is that determined by the door? Or the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it over here is that the nature of the king is that influential over the generation, or vice versa, is it the nature of the generation that is influential over the king? Which is, how does the temperament of the leader impact on the spirit of the generation? Or vice versa, how does the spirit of the generation affect the temperament of the leader? Meaning that if the king is a kaptan, he has anger, he's someone who is tough, does that mean the people of the generation will also be tough? Or is it the other way around? If the generation or the people are tough with each other, hard-hearted or difficult, Hashem brings them a tough leader, and vice versa. If they are good to each other, they are kind to each other, does that facilitate a good leader or a kind leader, a benevolent king? Or does a benevolent king precipitate individuals who act in such a manner? And that's the nature of the machloket between them. To which one influences the other? Is it the king that leads the generation in this factor? Or is it the generation that leads the king with regards to these matters? And with that, we finish the third parak of Arachin, Hadron Alach, Yesh Barachim. And now we're back to Arachin. And over here, the Mishnah begins, Heseg Yad Bin Noder. That when it comes to determining whether the person can afford to pay for the Arachin, it's determined by the person taking the Neder Arachin. Vashanim, the age that determines on the scale of what the person has to pay in Erech, is determined by Nidar, the object of the Neder Arachin. V'ha'arachin b'ne'erach, and the arachin themselves are determined by the ne'erach, again the object of the neder arachin, as far as what is the gender of the individual that determines where you are on the tables of payments. V'ha'erech b'zman ha'erech, and the arachin are determined by the time that you take the neder arachin. Which is that if the person takes the neder arachin while they are in a certain age category, and then they change the age category when they come to pay for it, the determining table that you look at is based on when they took the neder, not when they come to pay the neder. So now the Mishnah here had four different items that it mentioned, and those four items are determined some by the person taking the neder, some by the object of the neder. When it comes to the determination of years and gender, which are what tell you where in the lookup tables you pay, that's all determined by the object of the neder. With regards to affordability and determining the age, it's determined by the noder and by the time of the neder. Now the obvious problem here with the Mishnah is that it's conflating terms of nidarim or noder and arachin. We already saw earlier in the Masechta that there's a big difference between them. Arachin uses the fixed tables in the Torah to determine what you're going to pay. A neder is when you say that the demay, the value of that individual you're going to donate, and that's based on shovyo, their true value. So the Gemara's first question will be exactly about that. Why is the Mishnah here conflating these terms? Heseg Yad Ben Noder, capacity for the individual to pay, is determined by the person taking the neder arachin. Ketzat, what is a scenario like that? Ani, Sheherich et Ashir, a poor person that says, I'm going to give erech of so-and-so, and that so-and-so is a wealthy individual, obtain erech ani. He pays based on his capacity to pay. The ashir, and the opposite way around, someone who's wealthy, shirichet ani, says he's going to pay the erech of a certain individual who is poor, obtain erech ashir. The payment is determined by his capacity or ability to pay. The truth is that in all these cases, there's a fixed amount to pay. So heseg yad is a special dispensation by arachin, whereby the Kohen can determine if the individual is not capable of paying the full amount that is demanded in the table, that he can make a reduction of that amount to have him pay. And once he pays that amount, he's discharged his obligation and owes no more money to Hekdesh. That is not true, for instance, if a person took a neder to give the value of a particular person to Hekdesh. Then if he can't pay it, the Kohen determines how much he can pay now, and he pays that now, and the remainder remains as an outstanding obligation to him. So this concept of Heseg Yad means that if the amount that he has to pay is beyond his means, then we have a reduction in that payment requirement, and then that resolves all of his obligations to Hekdesh with regards to the Arachin. So obviously an Ashir is not going to get that dispensation. The person who would get that dispensation is the Ani. But the question is, where in this playing field is the Ani? The Mishnah is making it clear that it's when the Ani is the one taking the neder where this dispensation is offered. It's not where the Ani is the object of the neder. Aval b'korbanot eino kein. That is not true when it comes to korbanot. The korbanot that are being referred to here, and we'll see more explanation of this both in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, is that when a mitzora has to bring his korbanot in order to finish off his tara process of the mitzora, there the Torah gives you an option of what's called mitzora Ani and Mitzorah Ashir. They're two different paths in order to become Tahor. The difference between them really is the korbanot that you're bringing. A Mitzorah Ashir brings three animals. He brings two kvasim and one kivsa. The two kvasim, one is an olah, one is an asham, and the kivsa is a chatat. So he brings three animals, and then he brings a mincha and a log shaman. The Mitzorah Ani has to still bring one keves for the asham, but then he brings, instead of a kivsa and a keves for the chatat and the olah, he brings shtei torim or shnei bnei yonah. He brings two birds, one the chatat, one the olah. And then he also has to bring the mincha and the log shamen. So the difference between them is the chatat and the olah, whether it's brought from kvasim or whether it's brought from birds. So that is, there are two different paths. There's a path of the mitzorani and the mitzorashir. And what the Mishnah is indicating is, by korbanot, what we said here by arachin is not true by korbanot. And that is, harei shamar, korbanot shel mitzora ze alai. There is a mitzora who is discharging his obligation as a mitzora to bring his korbanot. And a third party looks at him and says that the korbanot shel mitzora ze, the korbanot of this particular mitzora, I am responsible to bring. That could have two meanings to it. It could either mean I will fulfill his obligations and I will bring his korbanot. It might be something totally independent, which is I will bring the korbanot that this mitzora is bringing. Haya mitzora ani. If the mitzora that he said this about was an ani, maybe korban ani. He brings the korban of an ani. Ashir. If the object of that nether was the ashir, maybe korban ashir. There's no dispensation for the person who took the nether. It's simply determined by the object of his nether. So this is just the opposite of what we saw by Arachin. By Arachin, it's determined by the person taking the nether. Over here, it's determined by the object of the nether. So by Arachin, if it's the Ani taking the nether, he has the dispensation of Hesek Yad. If it's Nashir taking it, he does not have the dispensation of Hesek Yad. By this case, it doesn't matter what the status of the individual is who's taking the nether. It depends on the person who's bringing the korbanot, who is saying, I want to bring korbanot like him, whatever his status is, that's going to be reflected on the person taking the nether. So if it's a mitzora ashir, then the individual taking the nether is required to bring the korbanot of a mitzora ashir. If it's a mitzora ani, then the person taking the nether brings the korbanot of an ani. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi points out that there's a discrepancy in the cases that you have here. Omer ani, af ba'arachin kein. He says, I don't think anything's different between the korbanot and the arachim. The difference is not in the halacha between them. The difference between them is in the way that you formulated the case. The case by arachim is, v'chim ipnei ma'ani she'erich et ha'ashir. Why is an ani who makes the object of his nether arachim an ashir? Why does he notain erach ani? Why does he pay like ani? She'ein ashir chayav klum. Because the ashir has nothing to do with this at all. The Ashir has no obligations over here. There's nothing that compels him to have to pay any money over here. He just happens to be the object of a neder. So similarly, in the other case where it's the Ashir that's Marich the Ani, the same thing is true there as well, that the Ashir has to pay based on his wealth because the Ani himself has no obligation over here. As opposed to the case of the Mitzora, where the Mitzora Ashir Ani is obligated to bring Korbanot, and you're trying to replicate or to replace those korbanot. And so if that's the case, there's an obligation on the party that's the object of the nether, and you're trying to then either take over that obligation or mimic that obligation. And that's a very different scenario. And if you replicate that by arachin, you'll actually get the same outcome, Rabbi claims. Aval ashir shamar, if a wealthy person says, erki alai, he says, my value I'm going to give as arachin to the mikdash, vishama ani. And then a poor person hears him saying that neder, v'amar, mashamar zeh, alai, whatever he said, I'm also going to be obligated to do. Notein erech ashir. He's got to pay an erech of an ashir. Because over there, the ashir had an obligation. And now he is trying to mimic that obligation or to pay that obligation. And in that case, he takes over whatever the obligation of the ashir is. And that's very different than the case where it's an ani who's making the neder arachin, and it's about an ashir, where the ashir has no obligation. He's not trying to reflect the ashir. He's just using the ashir as a benchmark to determine where in the tables you have to look up to know how much to pay. But otherwise, the ashir has no bearing, or the wealth of that individual has no bearing on the case at all. And so Rabbi says that I don't think that there's any difference between arachim and korbanot. The truth is that the cases are different, and that's what precipitates the difference in halacha, not the fact that there's actually a fundamental difference between the korbanot of the mitzora and the arachin over here. Now the Gemara asks the question that we noted. Hesek yad bimarichu. Wait a minute. Hesek yad has nothing to do with nidarim. It has to do with arachin. So then why is the Mishnah saying hesek yad binoder? My answer is ki dichtiv. When it comes to the hesek yad by arachim, it says vimachu mirkecha. ve'midol lifnei ha'kohen, ve'erich oto ha'kohen, al pi asher tasig yad ha'noder, yarichenu ha'kohen. So the pasuk itself calls him a noder. And so the Mishnah is reflecting that language of the pasuk. So the Gemara says, hashanim v'nidar. The next halacha in the Mishnah says that the years are determined by the object of the neder, v'nerachu. Once again, it should be the object of your neder arachim. It's not the object of your neder. Aide damar heseg yado v'noder, amar nami hashanim v'nidar. In order to keep a parallel structure in the Mishnah, since the first term is quoting the pasuk in Chumash, and therefore uses the term noder, even though it really should say ha ma'arich, but once you've done that, then the next line in the Mishnah, which is hashanim, which also should have been b'nerach, instead says b'nidar to match the hesek yad b'noder. And again, if you think about the Mishnayot as being notes by which people are memorizing these halachot, it's much easier to memorize things that are in parallel. To say hesek yad b'noder v'hashanim b'nidar, so those are parallel items that when you're memorizing makes it easier. Had it been hesek yad b'noder v'hashanim b'nerach, that doesn't flow as easily, it's not as easy to remember. So the Gemara says in the end, we are speaking about Arachim, and it has nothing to do with Nidarim. The only reason that the term Neder appears here is because the Torah uses the term Noder, and the Mishnah is just picking up that language of the Torah, but not to say to you that there's any real meaning to the word Noder here, and we're not conflating Nidarim and Arachim. Now the Gemara moves on to discuss Hesegad v'Noder, Ketzat, Anish Erichat Yashir, Noten Arachani. My time. How do you know that's the case, or why is that the case? Damaraka, asher yad sasig yad ha-noder. Be-noder tala-rachmano. The pasuk tells you who is the determining factor as to whether you get a dispensation or you get a reduction in the payment is the capacity of the noder to pay. The Torah told you that it's determined by the noder. Aval be-korbanot enokain. That's the view of the Chachamim, that by korbanot, that is not true. Harei she'amar, if a person says, korbanot shel mitzorah ze alai, I am going to bring the korbanot of this particular mitzorah, haya mitzorah ani, if he was a mitzorah ani, mevi korban ani, then he would have to bring a korban of an ani, because he's taking on the obligation of the korbanot that are being brought over here. The korbanot that are being brought over here are a korbanot of an ani. Ve'af agav demiduro ashir. That's even true if the person taking the neder is an ashir. Pasuk says by the Tarata Mitzorah, Ve'im Dalhu. That's the lead into the second process of Tarata Mitzorah, which is that the Torah gives you the process, and then says, Ve'im Dalhu. If he is poverty stricken, if he is unable to afford it, then here's the other process. The Torah says, Im Dalhu, Velo Dalhu. This person's not a poor person, so how could he be bringing the korbanot of an ani if he's not poor? So Amar Rav Yitzchak, Shehiya Midiro Ani. It's a case where not only is the object of the neder a mitzora ani, but the one taking the neder is also an ani. So Gemara says, how do you know in that case it works? Dilma Alei Didei Chas Rachmana, Amadiro Lo, the Aktiv. Because the pasuk says, in Dalhu, and who is a miyut? Who says that the Torah gave that dispensation to a person who's taking a neder? The Torah had rachamim on this mitzorah and says, im dahu, if he's poverty-stricken or unable to pay, then he gets this dispensation. But who says that an ani who just comes out of the blue and takes a neder to bring such korbanot, who says that he has the dispensation of the Torah to be then covered by the pasuk of im dahu? Just because he's poor doesn't necessarily mean that he gets that dispensation. Amar Rav Adar Bar Hava, that's not true because of the next line in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Im dalhu ve'ein yado maseget." Not only when he's a poor person, but in a case where he doesn't have the capacity to pay, lerabot et a noder. That comes to tell you that even the noder is also included under this special dispensation of poverty, which is im dalhu is the speaking about the mitzvah himself. Ve'ein yado maseget is speaking about someone who took a neder to bring such korbanot. Aval. Madiro Ashir, Hachanami Demaiti Bi Ashirut. But then, you're telling me, if it was an Ashir that took the Neder over here, and the Mitzorah was an Ani, that he would have to bring Korbanot of an Ashir, Im Kain, Mai, Aval Bi Korbanot Enu Kain. Then what is meant by the Chachamim when they say, Uber Korbanot Enu Kain? That's not true by your Korban. Now you've just created a situation in which the Din of Arachin and the Din of the Korbanot are the same. But the din of arachim, if the ashir is the one that is being marich, he's the one taking the neder arachim, and the object is an ani, in that case we say that the ashir pays like an ashir, because he's the one taking the neder arachim. Now you're telling me the same thing is true by the mitzora. If the person taking the neder over here is an ashir, and the object of his neder is a mitzora ani, you're telling me now that he brings it like an ashir. That's exactly what you just said by arachim, and that means that arachim and the korbanot of the mitzora turn out to be parallel, not that they are differentiated. Then how did the Chachamim say in the Mishnah, ube korbanot ain't okay? The Gemara answers, chado, and probably the best gears over here is to skip to the second chado, and say, chada de meute mitzora shir, ome diro ani. So that's the Rashi's gears over here. Rashi says that he has the gears that is found in our Gemarot. That's the gears that he had. He explains the Gemara based on that gersa, but the explanation basically says what would have been true had their gersa been just that second statement of Chada Lemute Mitzora Shir Umiduro Ani, because Rashi says otherwise the Gemara does not read like way a Gemara would read anywhere else in Shas, and therefore he thinks that's the proper gersa, and he says despite the gersa that we have, the explanation is similar to just having the gersa of the Chada Lemute Mitzora Shir Umiduro Ani, which is basically that one of the two cases is different. That means that you have two scenarios. One scenario is where you have a poor person that's Marich and Ashir, and they have the case of the Ashir that's Marich the Ani. And then the Chachamim say, Uber Korbanot ain't okay. By Korbanot, that is not true. You have two cases by Arachin, and what the Gemara is saying is that the Chachamim, when they say by Korbanot it's not true, that is because by Korbanot, one of those two cases is differentiated. Not both of them, only one of them. And that means that the case of Ashir, that was Marich Anani, where it's determined by the Noder, which means that he doesn't have Hesek Yad because he's an Ashir. And so too by the case of the Korbanot, where it is a Mitzora Ani, and the Ashir takes the Neder, then he also there will have to bring Korbanot like an Ashir. And in that case, they are parallel. The case of the Arachin and the case of the Korbanot are actually parallel. The differentiation comes in a case where Mitzora Ashir Umediro Ani. It's a case where the Mitzora is a wealthy individual, and therefore he's going to bring the animals, the three animals for the Korban, but the person taking the neder to bring the Korbanot is an Ani. And in that case, the cases will be differentiated. That by the case of Arachin, where an Ani says that he's going to be Merich and Ashir, there he's Nidon Behesek Yad, because it's an Ani. On the other hand, when you have a Noder Ani and a Mitzora Ashir, there the Ani is going to have to bring a Korban Ashir. That's where the differentiation is, or that's where it says, because of Mitzora, the Ani taking the Neder with an object being the Ashir, he's going to have to bring a Korban Ashir, as opposed to Ani, that's Merich and Ashir, but he'll bring a Korban Ani. In addition, this is the view of the Balei HaTosafot, Rashi, the Ra'ivad, that also in a case where an Ashir says, Erki Alai, he says about himself, I want to give my value of Erech to the Mikdash, and an Ani hears him saying that and says, Masha Marzeh Alai, whatever he said, I am obligated to bring, there is Nidon B'Hesek Yad. According to the Chachamim, that Ani gets the dispensation of Hesek Yad, and his capacity to pay will be determinant as to whether he has to pay the full amount, or he can pay some discounted amount. But the key element here is that only in one of the two cases is it true that the korbanot are different than arachin. In the case of ashir she'erich ani, or the case of a ashir that is meidir a mitzora ani, in both those cases, the ashir will bring a korban ashir, and that will not be a distinction, or that will not be different between arachin and korbanot. That's the way Rashi learns it. Balei Tosafot bring a similar sentiment with regards to the echad over here. If you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, he actually learns it based on the original Gersa and says that there are two chadas here, and that's because there are two statements of miyut that are discussed in the Psukim. One is Ein Yado Maseget, which tells you that in a case where it's an Ani, that was Noder a Korban Mitzora Ani, that in that case he pays like an Ani and is included in the dispensation. Whereas Im Dalhu comes to tell you that if it's a case of a Noder Ani, but a Mitzora Ashir, there he does not get the dispensation. And that's what the Chada and Chada are. That means that we have two psukim and two miutim, and the exercising of those miutim gives you the results by which one of the cases is parallel to the case of Arachin, and one of the cases is not parallel to the case of Arachin. That's determined by the miut of Imdalhu, which says that the case of Anani, that's Nudiran Korban Mitzora Ashir, we'll have to bring a Korban Ashir. That's differentiated from the case of an Arachin. Whereas the case of a Nudirani from a Mitzorani, their Ein Yadom HaSeged makes it that he has the same din as Arachin, and that is that he will pay like Anani. Now the Gemara explains why it is that that's a Chiddush, but the Chachamim are saying in the Mishnah, because the Sakadat Chamin, I would have thought, Hovid Rabu, it's Rabu. Once they've been included, they should all be included. Because I would have thought, Ho, Vidrabe Noder, since the Noder gets an additional dispensation over here because of Ein Yadom HaSeged, to tell you when the individual who is taking this Neder is an Ani, he gets such a dispensation. And similarly, a Mitzora Ani that takes a Neder with regards to an Ani, he's a Korban Ani. Just like by Arachin, he gets the dispensation. Just like by the case of an Ani Mitzora and the Medora Ani, he gets the dispensation. You would have thought that that dispensation also carries over to the case where it's a Mitzora Shir and the Medirah is an Ani. That would have been your Saka Dat Kamino. Since Itrabu, since already the Ani got the dispensation, both in the case where the object of his Neder was a Mitzora Ani, and the case where he's doing Arachin, he gets the dispensation. So you would have thought also in the case where the object of his Neder by the Korbanot is an Ashir, he should also get the benefits of Hesed Yad. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that. Kedetanyo, as we have in the Breita, the Fishi Matsinu Barachin, Ani Sherichet Ashir Nutein Erech Ani. When the Ani says that he's going to give the Erech of an Ashir, he gives it based on his capacity to pay. Yachol Avzekein, you would have thought that the case of the Korbanot is similar. Talmud Omar, V'imdalhu. The Pasuk says, Imdalhu, who is a miut, that says that only when he is poor is that true. But over here, where the object of his nether is not poor, therefore he's not given that right, or he's not given that dispensation to pay as an ani, and now he's going to have to pay as an ashir. Ule Rabbi Damar, and according to Rabbi that says, Omer ani, af by arachin kein, that by arachin it's also true, that if the person is an ashir, and says, Erki alai, and the ani says, I want to do like he just did, then he has to pay like the ashir. He has no differentiation between the Arachin and the Korbanot, and that means that by the case where the Ani is taking the Neder, and the object of his Neder is the Mitzora Shir, there's no reason to believe that he should bring a Korban Ani. He should bring a Korban Ashir, just like the similar situation by Arachin, where it's an Ashir that says Erki Alai, and the Ani tries to mimic that, he also doesn't get that dispensation. Alma Bater Chiyuva de Gavra Azlina. We go after the object of your Neder, of the individual who creates the chiyuv, which is in the case of Arachin, it's the Ashir that created that chov, and then if the Ani wants to mimic it, he's going to be chayav like an Ashir. And similarly by Mitzora Ashir, if he has to bring the Korbanot because he's an Ashir, when the Ani tries to mimic that, he has to do it like an Ashir. Veha lo tzricha kra limute. So there we don't need a pasuk to tell you that that's the case. Then who limute mai? Then what does he do with Imdalhu? What does he use that to exclude? The Mute Mitzora Ani Umediro Ashir comes to exclude the case where the Ani is the Mitzora and the Mediro is an Ashir. Sakadat Chamin Yuratar Hovamar Dibrabi Batar Chiyuva de Gabras Linan. Go after the person who generates the Chiyuv. And over here, the Chiyuv is generated by an Ani. So maybe the Ashir should also pay like an Ani. That's what Imdalhu comes to tell you. That if he's poor, then he brings korbanot of an ani. But he's not poor, so he has to bring korbanot of an ashir because the hu comes to exclude him. Now the chachamim don't need that miut over there because to them that's obvious. Because the chachamim say that you go after the noder. And since by the case of the mitzora ani, where the noder is an ashir, then it's clear to the chachamim that the ashir is going to bring korbanot like an ashir because he's the noder. It's only for Rabbi where he thinks you go after the obligation, which is the person that generated the obligation is determinant, then there by the Mitzora Ani, where the Noder is the Ashir, there maybe you would have thought to say that the Ashir should bring Korbanot of an Ani. That's what he uses Imdalhu to tell you that that's not the case. So put together a chart, which I sent out, which makes it a little easier to see this distinction. But in the end, the real difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi is in one case, according to Rashi, Tosafot, the Raivot, and that's in the case of the Ashir that says Erki Alai, where he says that I'm going to donate my Erech to the Mikdash, and then he overhears him and says, Mashamar Ze Alai, whatever he said, I am now obligated to bring. So the Chachamim in that case say that he has a din of Heseg Yad, that the Torah says it's determined by the Noder. Now we have the Noder is an Ani, and therefore he gets the dispensation of Heseg Yad. On the other hand, Rabbi believes in that case, he doesn't get the benefit of Heseg Yad, and that's because he goes Batar Chiyuva de Gabras Lina, go after the one who created the Chiyuv. And over here, the Ashir is the one who created the Chiyuv. And when the Ani says, I want to be like him, he's not saying that I want to do Arachin anymore, he's basically saying, whatever obligation that he has, I'm taking on that obligation. It's as if he made a nether for that amount of money, and therefore he doesn't get the benefit of Heseg Yad. And that's the difference between the Rabbanon and Rabbi. In every other case, and you can see this in the chart, they will agree as to what the outcome is or what the halacha is. We can run through them quickly now, which is, an ani, she'erich ashir, then it's nidon beheseg yad, because the ani is the one taking the nether. Ashir she'erich ani has no din of heseg yad, because the ashir is the one who took the nether. A case where the ashir says, erki alai, and then the ani says, mashamar ze alai, that's where their machloket is. The Rabbanan says it's nidon beheseg yad, and the Rabbi says it's enu nidon beheseg yad. In a case where an ani says erki alai, and the Ashir overhears that and says mashamar ze alai, so then the Chachamim clearly say enu nidon beheseg yad, because the person taking the nether here is an Ashir, and that's what determines. The Balia Tosafot bring from the Rabbeinu Elchanan that they think Rabbi believes in this case is the same thing. Even though generally Rabbi goes butter chiyuva azlinan, and that means that the Ashir in that case should pay like the Ani, he says that's not logical. Therefore, the Balei HaTosafot say over here, Sharei im lo haya ani chayav klum, if the Ani wasn't chayav anything, elo shamar Ashir erech ploni alai, hayu notein erech Ashir, v'koshkein im nitchayev erech, ein lanu ligor'o l'Ashir litein erech Ani. There's no reason that the Ashir should be downgraded in any way to pay less than his capacity to pay. And therefore, he believes that Rabbi agrees in that case that enu nidon behezeg yad. Now, when it comes to the korbanot of a mitzorah, you have four permutations. In the first two cases where the mitzorah is a mitzorah ani, and the noder changes, which is, if it's a noder ashir, both the chachamim and rabbi agree that you bring a korban ashir. The chachamim say that because, basically because we go batar noder over there, whereas rabbi says that it's imidal hu, the miut of the word hu, tells you that even though normally you go batar chiyuva, over here, Im Dahu tells you otherwise. So they both agree that the Ashir brings the Korbanot to an Ashir. If it's a Mitzor Ani, and the Noder is an Ani, then they both agree that he brings it because, according to the Chachamim, we learn it out of Ein Yado Maseget, that there's an additional Riboy to say there's Heseg Yad, even when the Noder is an Ani. And for Rabbi, it's because Batar Chiyuv of the Gamras Linan. We go after the person who generated the Chiyuv, and that's an Ani. The next two cases are cases where it's a Mitzor Ashir, and then the Noder changes. In a case where it's a Noder Ashir and a Mitzor Ashir, it's Pshita that he brings a Korban Ashir. There's nothing to discuss according to either opinion. In a case where the Mitzor is an Ashir and the Noder is an Ani, over here both Rabbi and the Chachamim agree that you bring a Korban Ashir, but for different reasons. Rabbi thinks you bring a Korban Ashir because we go Butter Chiyuva de Gavra Zlina, and over here the Chiyuva was created by the Mitzor Ashir. The Chachamim say that Im Dahu, the Dao Hu is a miut in this case to say that only when it is a Dao does he get that dispensation. Who is that there's only in this case and not in other cases, and this is the cases that excluded, and therefore they, even though the Noder is an Ani, since the object of his Neder was a Mitzor Ashir, he brings a Korban like an Ashir. And therefore, based on this Girsa, when the Chachamim say Korbanot Einu Kain, that's contrasting this case that we just discussed, Noder Ani, Mitzor Ashir, with the case of Ashir that said Erki Alai, and the Ani overheard him and said Mashamar Ze Alai, that's where you have the distinction, according to the Chachamim. In that case of Erech, it's Nidon Be'ezek Yad, but in the case of the Mitzorah and the Korban, he brings a Korban Ashir, even though the Noder is an Ani. And so that's the Uber Korbanot Einu Kain, and that's the Chada that Rashi mentioned before. In that case, Rabbi says the Din is the same. He says that in Ashir Shamar Erki Alai, and the Ani overheard it and said Mashamar Ze Alai, is Einoni Din Velon Behesek Yad. That's what he said in the Mishnah. And similarly, Einani, who's the Noder, and the object is a Mitzor Ashir, he brings a Korban Ashir. And therefore they are parallel. And that's what Rabbi says, Omer Ani, Af Be'arachim Kein. That's the view of the majority of the Rishonim. The Rambam here is an unusual Shita where he says, in the Perish of Mishnayot, Ein Bein Rabbi the Chachamim Machloket. There is no machlok between the Rabbi and the Chachamim, and Rabbi is only coming to clarify the position of the Chachamim, and to tell you that there is times when it's the same and times when it's different. Not that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi, not that Rabbi disagrees with the Chachamim. They're speaking about different cases. And basically, the Chachamim, when they say Korbanot Einu Kain, they're referencing to the basic case of Arachin, which is an Ani, Sherich Ashir, where he's Nidon Behesek Yad. And that is contrasted with the case of a Mitzor Ashir, where the Noder is an Ani, where he brings a Korban Ashir. And that's where Korbanot Einu Kain. And Rabbi comes along to clarify and says that's only true there, that difference, because the cases are somewhat different. But in a case that parallels the case of the Mitzor Ashir and the Noder Ani, in Arachin, which is the case where it's an Ashir Shemar Ki Alai, and the Ani overhears him and says, Mashemar Ze Alai, Einu Nidon Behesek Yad. He doesn't have a Din Behesek Yad, just like the Noder Ani, Mitzor Ashir, brings a Korban Ashir. And therefore, Arachin and Korbanot are the same. And according to the Rambam, the Chachamim agree with that. And they agree that in the case of Ashir Shemar Ki Alai, and the Ani overhears it and says, Mashemar Ze Alai, that he's Einu Nidon Behesek Yad. The Chachamim agree with Rabbi. There's no machlok between them. Their statements are about different cases. Rabbi creates the parallel case where the din is the same. And the Chachamim are speaking about the basic case of Arachin versus the case of Mitzorah, where the halacha is different. And Rabbi would agree to that. And the Chachamim would agree to what Rabbi says. And that is, you can see again in the chart, that makes the Rambam differentiated. The machlok between the Rambam and the other Rishonim is in a case where the Ashir says, Erki Alai. And the Ani overhears it and says, Mashemar Ze Alai. According to the majority of Rishonim, the Rabbanan believe over there that he gets the dispensation of Hesek Yad. The Rambam says that the Rabbanan believe like Rabbi that he doesn't get the dispensation of Hesek Yad, and he paskins that way in Mishnah Torah. And the Ravid in Mishnah Torah says he's quoting the sheet of Rabbi, not the sheet of the Chachamim. But that's true because according to the Rambam, Rabbi and the Chachamim have the same sheet. All right, now we move on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Haya ani v'hashir. If he was poor and then became wealthy, Ashir ve'ani, or he was wealthy and then became poor, notein erech Ashir. In both of those cases, he pays like a wealthy individual. We'll see in the Gemara as to why that is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ani ve'ashir ve'chazer ve'ani. Rabbi Yehuda says, if he was poor, he became wealthy, and then he became poor again, notein erech Ashir. He still pays like an Ashir, because he only pays like an erech ani when he's an ani from beginning to end, which we'll see in the Gemara. Aval b'korbanot ain't okay. By korbanot, that is not the case. And we'll have to see why it's differentiated by korbanot. The Gemara will bring the limudim to show us why by the korbanot of Mitzorah, the din is different. And then the Gemara has this statement, afilu meit aviv, v'eniach lo ribo. Even if his father passed away, and he's set to inherit tens of thousands of coins, money, o sfinato b'yam, or he has merchandise out at sea, ubaolo b'ribo'ot, and when it comes in docks here, he's going to be very wealthy. Ein lekdesh baklum. Hekdesh has no rights to it. We determine by his standing today, not his future wealth or the wealth that is going to come to him. Rashi over here makes the claim that the Mishnah actually, after it says, v'koronot ein okein, is a stop. And then the remainder of the Mishnah is speaking about Arachin. By Arachin, his ability to have future wealth is not going to be determinant over here, and the Gemara in tomorrow's daf will explain to us what is the scenario. Either he has inherited it and it's already his, or he hasn't inherited it and it's not his. What is this scenario where it's his but it's not his? So that's what you have to determine. That the Gemara tomorrow will explain. But Rashi says it's all a reference to the dinim of Arachin. On the other hand, the Bali et Tosafot and most of the other Rishonim read the Mishnah in a more simple case, which is Aval b'korbanot ein okein. That's not true, and the Afilu seems to continue that, which says this is the din by a Mitzorah. So many Rishonim say that the remainder of the Mishnah is speaking about the case of Mitzorah. Rashi says it's speaking about Arachin. The Bali HaTosafot, in order to avoid the problem of what is the Chiddush by the Mitzorah, because we're going to see in a second, it doesn't make any sense that by a Metzora you need to say this because the Metzora is determined by a fixed point in time. And therefore, the statement of the Mishnah seems obvious that if at the time that he brought the Korban, he didn't have this wealth in hand, then it shouldn't matter that the wealth came to him after that point in time. And so then none of this information should be a surprise. And the real Chiddush is by the Arachin. So what Tosafot says is that the remainder of the Mishnah is speaking about the Korbanot of the Mitzorah, but Vehu Adin Arachin. The same is true by Arachin, that we don't take into consideration the possibility of wealth that is coming his way. And basically what Tosafot says is, we say better a bird in hand than two in the bush. We take whatever he can pay today, and we take it, rather than speculating on what might be in the future or his capacity to pay in the future, which might be greater than it is today, because could work out either way. Could be that it's greater, could be that it's less, and therefore we just charge him based on what it is now, and that's equally true by Arachin as it is by the case of the Korbanot HaMitzorah. Now the Gemara wants to know, Ani Ve'eshir, if he's poor and then became wealthy, how do I know that he has to pay? It says, Ashir Tasig Yad Had Noder, Ashir Ve'eani, if he was wealthy and then became poor, how do I know he has to pay? Because it says, Api Asher Tasig. So now, the Girsa that we have here really follows the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Gershom. Rashi alters the Girsa a little bit. The way that the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it is that the Ani, if he was poor when he took the Neder, and then he became wealthy, then Asher Tasig Yad Had Noder. It has to do with what the capacity of this Noder is to pay. And right now, he has the capacity to pay the full amount, and therefore that's determinant. But the other hand, Asher Ve'ani, is Alpi Asher Tasig. And the Rabbeinu Gershom focuses on the words Alpi. Alpi tells you that it's determined by when he took the Neder. And when he took the Neder, he was an Asher. So the Psukim here makes sense according to Rabbeinu Gershom. Rashi has a different view here, which is the word Noder is in one of the proofs and not in the other proof, which is that the first proof is Ani Ve'eshir. He was a poor person then became wealthy. We say Asher Tasig Yad. The proof text for that is that if he has the capacity to pay, he needs to pay. Then Ashir Ve'ani, if he was wealthy and then became poor, then it's Alpi Ashir Tasig Yad HaNoder. So there it's Yad HaNoder, it's determined by the time of the Neder, and the time of the Neder, he was an Ashir. So that's Rashi's Girsa in the Gemara, where it's one time it's read with the word Noder in it, one time without the Noder. So one time it's about just his capacity to pay. The other time it has to do with the Noder, meaning at the time of the Neder, and that's why Rashi brings the proof text over here. If he was poor, then wealthy, then poor, notain erech hashir, still, even though he wasn't rich at the time he took the Neder, and he wasn't rich at the time that he has to pay the Neder, but in the interim he became wealthy, he still there is considered like an hashir, because my time in the Rabbi Yehuda Makra, the Pasuk says, imachu me'erkecha, he is too poor to pay the erech that is determined based on the tables in the Torah. And he learns from this, Ajei b'machuto mitzkilato v'atzofo. Imachu means that he has to be poor from beginning to end. Meaning that he has to be poor all the way through, 100% of the time, in order to be considered ani. If he's wealthy anywhere along the way, that ruins his capacity to get this dispensation. So now Gemara says, Ela mi'ato, if that's the case, then you can say the same thing by the case of the Mitzorah. Because the Mitzorah says, Im Dalhu. If he's impoverished, then he gets this dispensation. So, Im Dalhu, why don't we say the same thing? Achanami, Achei, Midaluto, Mitzchilato, Biad Sofo. The only time that he gets the dispensation is when he's poor from beginning to end. Bechitem Achanami. It's okay, why not? Maybe that should be the case. Vatznan, we have a Mishnah that tells us that's not the case by Mitzorah. Because by Mitzorah, Shevi Korbanotav. Ani v'heshir, if he was poor and then became wealthy. Ashir v'heani, or he was wealthy and became poor. Akol aleich achar chatat, divi Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it's all determined by what his status is when he brings the korban chatat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, akol aleich achar hasham. Rabbi Yehuda says it's all determined by what his status is when he brings the korban hasham. V'tanyo, and we have a third opinion, which is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, akol aleich achar tziporim. That it all goes after the birds. The birds that he's referencing to are the two birds that he brings in the beginning of the process of Tahara, to begin the process of him re-entering into the Machaneh, then waiting the 7 days, doing his Giluach, and then bringing his Korbanot. So whatever his status was at the time in Tziporim, that's the determining factor. So you see clearly from here that Rabbi Yehuda does not believe that you need to be impoverished from beginning to end. He says it all is determined by a single point in time, and that is by the Korban Hasham. What is your status at that time? Hayit Marala. Though there's a different explanation, meaning that there's a reason why we would have thought otherwise, because there's a drusha from the Psukim, which is Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ushloshta Mikra Echad Darshu. All three of them learn it from the same Pasuk, which is the Pasuk at the tail end of the Mitzora Ani, where it says, Bezot Torat Asher Bo Negatzarat, Asher Lo Tasig Yado B'Taharato. Asher Lo Tasig Yado B'Taharato, Rabbi Shimon Savar, Davar HaMechaper. It's the item that brings Kapara. Mind you, what is that? That is the Chatat. According to Rashi over here, he says that's because the Pasuk right before says, V'chiper HaKohen Ala Mitaher Lifnei Hashem. And then it says, Zot Torat Asher Bo Negatzarat, Asher Lo Tasig Yado B'Taharato. So the Shiloh to Sigma Dobitardo is a reference to the previous Pasuk's Vichipera Queen Alamitaher. And the Kapara comes from the Chatat. And so the Chatat is the determining factor as to whether Yado Maseget. That's the way Rashi learns it over here. Rashi in the Gemara in Kretot says that he actually learns it out of the word Shiloh to Sigma Dobitarato, where he says that the Taharato that is being spoken about here is the Kapara. And that is because the Negaim come to provide kapara from different aveirot. Therefore, it is ikar tarat mitzorah is the kapara attained through the chatat, and that's why he thinks the chatat is determinant. The Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayot actually notes that the reason that he picks the chatat is because that's the differentiating factor between an ani v'ashir. The ani and ashir both bring the same asham, so the difference between them is really the chatat, as whether you bring a kisba or you bring a bird. And then the Ola is determined by that Chatat. That's why he thinks that it's the Chatat. Yudha Savar Davar HaMakshir. It's the item that is the Makshir. Umayniu. And what is that? That is the Asham. The Asham is the item, as Rashi says over here, that makes him Tahor. Because after he brings the Asham, he's allowed to enter into the Mikdash. He's allowed to eat Kodoshim. That's what takes him from being a Mechusar Kapara into someone that is completely Tahor. On the other hand, the Baalei Tosafot point out that that's not necessarily true, because all the korbanot are me'akev, his ability to eat in the Kodoshim and enter in the Mikdash. It's not just the Asham. And therefore, the Tosafot say that the reason the Asham is called the Makshir over here is because that's the only purpose of the Asham. The Chatat has another purpose besides allowing him to enter in the Mikdash and eat the Kodoshim. That is that it provides kapara. And an Olah also, that korban is brought in other contexts in order to be a gift, a present, a thank you, and it has meaning outside of the capacity here to allow the mitzorah to re-enter the mikdash or to eat kodoshim. On the other hand, the asham has no purpose besides being matir the mitzorah over here. It does nothing besides create the hakshara, and that's why he thinks that that is the primary aspect of the taharato. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov savar hagoreim lo tahara. What is the item that really begins the process of Tara? And without it, you can't go through the process of Tara. Mainiu, and what are those? Those are the Tzipurim. That's the start of the process of Tara. Those are the two Tzipurim. Elahu, Lomali. So then, why do you need Imdalhu? If you don't darshan it like we darshan Immachu, to tell you that it has to be Machuto Mitzchilat Sof, and you would have thought to say the same thing by the Mitzorah, Imdalhu means from beginning to end, but we don't do that because we have an alternate pasuk that indicates otherwise. And we see the Tanaim saying that it's determined by his status, by a particular korban. That determines whether he's a ni or shir. Then what do you do with the word Imdalhu? My answer is that's not a problem. The Rabbi can deit le Rabbana can deit lo. Just like we saw in the previous Gemara. Rabbi uses it to teach you Imdalhu, that if he is a noder ashir and a mitzorah ani, that he still brings a korban ashir. Even though normally we go Batar Chiyuva, and here the Chiyuva is a Mitzorah Ani, nevertheless, Imdalhu teaches you that a Noder Ashir has to bring a Korban Ashir, and the Chachamim use it for when it's a Noder Ani and a Mitzorah Ashir, even though normally the Chachamim go Batar Noder, nevertheless, Imdalhu comes to teach you in that case, you don't go Batar Noder, but rather you go by the Mitzorah Ashir, and therefore the Noder Ani has to bring a Korban Ashir. So we saw what they use Imdalhu for already. And that's what it's for, not for this alternate drasha. Ela me'ata. Well, let's look at another case. Vehu aid. So then, by the case of Shvuat Eidut, it says there that if he was an aid, then if he takes a Shvuah that he doesn't have Eidut to tell, then he's chayav a korban olet biorate for that. So adje kasher mitchilato v'ad sofo. So again, there, why don't you have to say that he has to be a kosher aid all the way through the process? That means both at the point where he witnesses the event and at the point where he comes to testify, and all the time in between, he has to be a kosher aid. If you say, yeah, that's right, maybe that's the same thing. If the who tells you that has to be from beginning to end, let's say the same thing over here, that's not true. If he had witnessed something before he became the son-in-law of this particular individual, and then he became his son-in-law, he was someone who could speak here when he witnessed the event, and then he no longer had the capacity to hear, to speak. He was able to see at the time that he witnessed the event, but now he is a suma. Shafoi, he was of sound mind. He witnessed the event when he was of sound mind. And then he lost his mind. In all of these cases, he is an aid pasul, and therefore he's not going to be subject to shvuat aidut because he wasn't a kosher aid. Avala yodeilo aidut, achalun asechatano. If he witnessed the event before he became his son-in-law, vinasechatano, and then he marries the daughter of this particular individual, v'achakach meita bito, and then this individual's daughter dies, which is what made this individual his son-in-law, so he's no longer his son-in-law, or pikeach v'nitcharesh v'chazer v'nitpakeach, someone who could speak here, then he lost that capacity, but then returned to that capacity. Patuach, he had sight, nistama, and then he lost his sight. Vachakach nitpatach, then he returned to having sight again. Shafui, he was of sound mind, v'nishtate, and then he lost his mind. V'chazer v'nishtafe, and then he went back to being of sound mind. Kasher, that aid is kasher. Zeklal, the principle is, kol shetchilato v'sofo b'kashrut kasher. As long as you were a kosher aid at the time you witnessed the event, and you're a kosher aid at the time that you're testifying, doesn't matter what happened in the interim. Doesn't matter that you were disqualified in the interim. It sounds like from there that you do not need to be kosher aid from beginning to end. You simply need to be kosher in the beginning, kosher at the end. And then a machol can't be explained then as the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda's position, because it doesn't work over here to mean beginning to end. So why should it mean beginning to end by imi machol? It says, shani hotam. Now, by the case of a dude, it's different. Amakra, ora'a, imlo yagid. It says there that he's chayav v'shvut ha'edut, in a case where ra'a, he witnessed the item, imlo yagid, when he doesn't speak up. Biriyav ha'gadah, tala rachmana milta. The Torah says that the important points, the pivotal points with regards to being an aid, are at the time of the witnessing of the event, and the time where you actually give your testimony. So the Torah says that those are only two meaningful points. Everything else is irrelevant. Vahika. And in these cases, that's what you have. He was not his relative when he witnessed the event. He wasn't his relative when he testified. Might have been his relative in the interim, but that doesn't change the fact that he was okay at the time of the witnessing and okay at the time of the testimony. And similarly with all these other cases where in the interim he was disqualified, it was at a period of time where it had nothing to do with witnessing the event and nothing to do with testifying. And the Torah puts emphasis on those two items, Riyah and Haggadah. In both those cases, he was kasher at the time of those events. Velahu lomali. Well, then when it says Vahu aid, what do you do with the word Vahu? Likididanya. We need that for the Braita. He sees a group or a cabal of people standing together. Veidav v'nehem. And the Edim, who he wants to come and testify on his behalf, who know Edut, are standing amongst those people. V'amar mashbi'ani alechem. He says in a generic statement about the whole group, I say that you have a shvuah. Im yodim atem li Edut. If any of you know a dude for me and are not coming, that you should come and testify on my behalf. If the individuals there accepted the Shvuah and there were real witnesses there who could have come and testified, and yet they don't, they're not going to be chayav for a Shvuat Eidut, because Tamalomar, Behu Eid. Lo Yicheid Eidav. Behu Eid means he has to specify the Eidim. He can't be speaking to a generic group. Yochal Filomar Komi. You would think that specifying the means, you have to say Reuven and Shimon, but if he sent to a group and said, any one person in this group who knows Eidut and is withholding that Eidut, Mashpina Alechem, that you come and take Eidut, and they say, no, we don't know any Eidut, Tamalomar Bu'ed Hare Ichad Edav. That is sufficient to be considered as if you specified the individuals. So you don't have to specify them in particular. You just have to be speaking to each individual and not to the group as a whole. So Bu'ed teaches you that if you're speaking to the group as a whole, your Shvua, that your Mashbia, the Edim there, to come and testify if they know Edut and they deny knowing Edut, that's not going to make them chayav in Shvuat Edut because you did not specify each individual, you spoke to the group as a whole. On the other hand, if you specify the Edim in particular and say Reuben and Shimon, or even if you say to a whole group, anyone on this group that knows Edut, I am Mashbia them to come and testify on my behalf, and they all say we know no Edut, they will be chayav Shvuat Edut over there, because there he specified each individual, not the group as a whole. He said any individual in this group, and that's enough to be considered Vahu Aid. But that's when we use the word Vahu to teach you that you can't make a generic statement to a group. You have to make a statement that is inclusive of every individual. Once again, we have an alternate or a mitigating pasuk that says the word who is not going to teach you from beginning to end over here. By the case of Eidut, because of Vahu Ra'ah Velo Yagid, that it's Bahagadah Riyah, it's Taloi. And then we have to use the word who for a different miut that comes to exclude a generic statement in Shvuat Eidut. And similarly, by the Mitzora Ani, we have a particular posuk, which is Asher lo yisig yado b'taharato, to teach you that there's one item that is pivotal to determining whether they are wealthy or poor in that case. And therefore, the word who doesn't teach you from beginning to end, and we use it for the miut of either the Chachamim and Rabbi. And the one case, b'machu me'erkecha, where we don't have a alternate pasuk to teach you otherwise, there Rabbi learns, machu means from beginning to end. Therefore, he believes if you become wealthy anywhere along the process, from the time that you took the nether until the time that he is brought before the Kohen to assess what he can afford, if he becomes wealthy at any point in, during that time, that will disqualify him from having the capacity to get al pi hashir tasig yad ha noder. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Yudchet Amud Aleph.